What we'd like to do is establish a quorum. We have 7 bills on the file today. There are no bills proposed for the consent for consent today. So we and also to accommodate one of our authors, we will hear one bill out of order and take up file item number 6, AB 1042 by Assemblymember Cooper first as soon as he arrives. But we will establish a quorum. Please call the roll.
Hill?
Here.
Hill here. Bates?
Here.
Bates here. Berryhill? Block? Galgiani? Galgiani here. Hernandez?
Here.
Hernandez here. Jackson?
Here.
Jackson here. Mendoza?
Here.
Mendoza here. Wachowski?
Wonderful. Thank you very much. So we will await Assemblymember Hernandez. Very good. We were going to let Assemblymember Cooper go first, but if you're here and he's not, you're on.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senators.
This is item number 7, AB 1508.
Yes, Assembly Bill 1508. This bill is aimed to address the underground economy and seeks to implement one recommendation from a recent Little Hoover Commission report. We all know that the underground economy is devastating to workers, legitimate employers, and the state treasury. In March 2015, the Little Hoover Commission released a report entitled Leveling the Playing Field, Put California's Underground Economy Out of Business. The report made numerous findings and recommendations. Among these, the commission found that although numerous government organizations focus on tackling the underground economy, no one is directly in charge. Hardworking government employees do their best to combat the problem, but often with inadequate resources or the data or equipment to effectively do their jobs. There are 4 major state task force focused on the underground economy, but it is not clear overall what the outcomes have been. The commission recommended the governor appoint an independent leader in consultation with state leaders who have jurisdiction over the underground economy with clear authority to untangle any overlaps in responsibilities, bridge silos, and move efficiently towards results. The commission recommended that this leader should report back on administrative or legislative changes needed to overcome the obstacles. Consistent with the recommendation from the Little Hoover Commission report, AB 1508 requires the governor to designate an independent chief policy advisor for the underground economy. This advisor would evaluate our current efforts and make recommendations to the legislature and the governor. With that, I ask for your aye vote.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, Member Cesar Diaz on behalf of State Building and Construction Trades Council in support.
Very good, thank you. Other witnesses in support? Other witnesses in opposition? No one, bring it back. Comments or questions from
the
yes? We have a motion from Senator Mendoza. Would you like to close, Senator?
I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you, Mr. Assemblymember. We have a motion from Senator Mendoza, due pass to Senate Appropriations Committee. Please call the roll.
Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Bates?
Aye.
Bates, aye. Berryhill? Block? Galgiani?
Aye.
Galgiani, aye. Hernandez?
Aye.
Hernandez, aye. Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Mendoza?
Aye.
Mendoza, aye. Wachowski? Wachowski, aye.
Think about it.
7. That bill has 7 votes. We're going to hold the roll open for the absent members, but it has enough to get out. Thank you, Assemblymember Hernandez. Great to see you. Assemblymember Cooper. Thank you. You were 30 seconds too late for that to be first. Welcome. This is item number 6, AB 1042. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. AB 1042 updates the definition of a proprietary private security officer to further professionalize the security guard industry and protect the general public. The intent of this bill is to ensure individuals providing security services are properly licensed, trained, and certified. The bill adds examples of security officer duties to ensure individuals employed by a business, such as a bar or restaurant, and who provide security services are not unlicensed. Additionally, proposed amendments are intended to clarify the definition of work week for private companies. I have Kelly Jensen on behalf of the California Association of Licensed Security Agencies, Guards, and Associates here to testify in support. I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Mr. Chairman and members, Kelly Jensen representing CalSAGA, which is the Security Guard Association. We are strongly in support of the bill. The bill closes a loophole in existing law which allows somebody to not wear a distinctive uniform but provide security services, thereby not having to comply with regulation or backgrounding requirements. As you know, the industry is very aggressive here in California to make sure that we continue to improve the industry. We're working with the chairman on his important bill as well. That's over in the assembly. So we look forward to the passage of this bill and appreciate your support today.
Thank you, Mr. Jensen. Others in support? Are there witnesses in opposition? Seeing none, any comments, questions from the committee? We have a motion from Senator Jackson. We have a motion to support with the proposed author's amendments that I believe you've agreed
yes,
to.
Yes, we accept
and
them.
And to clarify that the work week for purposes of employee payroll.
Correct.
Which is very good. It's a great bill. So please call the roll.
Motion is due pass as amended to Rules Committee. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Bates?
Aye.
Bates, aye. Berryhill? Block?
Aye.
Block, aye. Galgiani?
Aye.
Galgiani, aye. Hernandez?
Aye.
Hernandez, aye. Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Mendoza?
Aye.
Mendoza, aye. Wachowski?
Aye.
Wachowski, aye.
Eight. That bill has 8 votes, so we'll hold the roll open for the absent members. Thank you very much. Thank you. Assemblymember Melendez. Good afternoon. This is item number one, AB 333. No, you push it. Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I would like to start first by thanking the committee staff for working closely with my office, and I do accept the committee's amendments. AB 333 will allow medical professionals who are certified instructors in CPR and AED use to receive up to 2 additional education credits for volunteering to do this training for employees of K-12 and college districts. This incentive will result in school officials being more likely to use an AED in a real-world medical situation. I am proud to say that AB 333 is supported by the American Red Cross, and here to speak on behalf of this bill is Christy Woods from the American Red Cross.
Afternoon. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Christy Woods. I'm the Director of Government Relations for the American Red Cross here in California, and I'm here today in support of AB 333. As the nation's largest provider of CPR and AED training, we believe Californians will benefit greatly, lives will be saved if more people on campuses are trained. While training isn't a prerequisite for operating an AED, as always, we support the notion of preparedness. Every year, over 400,000 people experience sudden cardiac arrest outside of the hospital. About 4,000 of those are under 35, and then only 10% of the victims survive. Encouraging school employees to be prepared in time of emergency, including the use of an AED, can save lives. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Other witnesses in support? Are there witnesses in opposition? Seeing none. Senator Jackson.
Yes, a question. It says that we had opposition from the Board of Psychology and the Board of Behavioral Sciences. Has that been removed?
No, I don't believe it has been removed. Yes. After the...
The amendments aren't here.
Right.
Oh, did remove the opposition. So the amendments that we were
worked
on.
We changed
on
it to address
Friday.
Their concerns. So I believe their opposition has been removed or will be removed.
I was just curious.
It
as
had
to
do with opting in or opting out, and they wanted it to be so that they would have to opt in order to provide these credits rather than the reverse. So we were happy to comply with that.
Great. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Jackson. Other questions? Yes, Senator Wachowski.
Yeah, I was curious. I understand the benefit of learning how to do CPR, but one of the requirements is be able to teach CPR. Why is that valuable for these healing arts people to be teaching it versus just being skilled?
Well, I will answer that question, and then I will allow Christy to add on to that if she'd like. But this is a matter of having people who are qualified to train you or anyone else up there on the dais of how to use this type of equipment in the event of an emergency. So it's not just CPR. It's a use of an AED, a defibrillator. When you have fewer people who can teach others how to use it, you have fewer people who are going to be comfortable using that equipment when an emergency arises. And that's exactly what we are trying to avoid. So that would be why.
Okay, so I'm thinking that I'm the healing arts person, mm-hmm. right? So you want me when I come in there and I'm looking to be healed and they do something and help me.
If you were still in the assembly, we could help you with that,
no,
Senator Wachowski.
But then they could teach a class on it versus just respond to the tragedy or whatever, the heart attack that was going on.
Well, and I would say, too, generally what we see with people in places of business, that they come to the Red Cross or heart or other organizations to get the training, become instructors, then they can go out into their, you know, what places of business or their, you know, whatever their industry is. And so instead of, you know, gathering people up and bringing them into the Red Cross, then, you know, they are the instructor and you know, they're already in the building or already with the organization. And it just makes it easier for, and more people would be willing to then get that training, which is what we're definitely looking for.
Mr. Chair, one more question.
Of course.
On page 2 of 4 in our handout, paragraph 1 says that they becoming a certified instructor of CPR or the proper use of AED. And then when we go down to the comments, the purpose, it's to becoming a licensed instructor in CPR and the proper use of AED. Is it or and? Okay. That's it.
Thank you, Senator Wyckowski. Other questions? Comments? Motion by Senator Mendoza. This is due pass, and you did agree to the amendments. Thank you very much, Assemblymember. The due pass is amended to the Senate Appropriations Committee. Thank you. Please call the roll.
Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Bates?
Aye.
Bates, aye. Berryhill?
Aye.
Berryhill, aye. Block?
Aye.
Block, aye. Galgiani?
Aye.
Galgiani, aye. Hernandez?
Aye.
Hernandez, aye. Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Mendoza?
Aye.
Mendoza, aye. Wachowski?
Aye.
Wachowski, aye.
9-0. That bill is out. Good.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you very much. Assemblymember Ridley Thomas. Moving to item number 4, AB 808.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair,
good
colleagues.
Good afternoon.
I bring before you AB 808, which expands authority of the Department of Food and Agriculture to ensure that alternative motor vehicle fuels and automotive products as regulated in similar manner as traditional fuels and automotive products. This has been a part of a stakeholder process that started with another bill that I carried last year, AB 1907, which really modernizes our system for requiring documentation, rather not documentation, but the posting of signs for alternative fuels, and is a part of a broader energy conversation that I think we'll have in subsequent years. And we respectfully request your aye vote, as this is a stakeholder-driven bill. The Food and Agriculture has a representative here to speak to the merits of the process and the bill if the committee has specific questions.
Very good. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Chair members. Taylor Roshan, Legislative Manager at the Department of Food and Agriculture. We are the official sponsor of AB 808. The bill provides the department with the necessary regulatory authority to ensure that all motor vehicle fuels and products are regulated in an appropriate manner. This protects consumers from substandard products and ensures equity in the marketplace. Without these protections, the retail viability of these fuels will be compromised. Specifically, the bill allows the department to be responsive to the dynamic nature of the alternative fuels market. As new fuels are introduced, the department would have the ability to adopt fuel quality standards. It also allows for the implementation of uniform price and advertising and labeling requirements for conventional and alternative fuels. And finally, emerging alternative fuels provide energy security, economic, and environmental benefits to the state. This bill is critical to allow us to meet our clean energy goals and facilitate the development of new technologies. So we appreciate your hearing today.
Very good. Thank you. Are there witnesses in support? Witnesses in opposition or between?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, Brian White here on behalf of the Western States Petroleum Association. We are neutral on the bill. Just wanted to go on record to let folks know that we have been working with the sponsors and the author to address a couple of technical amendments that are really important. So I don't want to discount that, but we understand that the author is going to work with us in the next committee. We've been trying to work this out for the last couple of months, so just want to make sure that folks are aware of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. White. Others in opposition or tweener? See no one? Tweener? Between? Well, yes, Senator Jackson.
Thank you. A couple questions. I'm wondering, I have some friends in the People's Republic of Santa Barbara who like to use the grease from old French fries and all this crazy kind of stuff. And actually, they claim that they get extraordinary mileage on their vehicles, and it's usually the air smells kind of like you're in a McDonald's, but I don't think there's any harm to that, although I'm not sure. But I'm wondering how this bill would impact things like some of these, and I don't just, I'm being a little facetious. I mean, there are variety of biodiesels, a variety of other options that are, I think, fairly clean, but how would this bill impact those kinds of resources?
So, and this is why it's before the Business and Professions Committee, because it deals with weights and measures issue. There's a National Commission on Weights and Measures that is considering all of the energy sources, including alternative energy for transportation, and they're developing various stages of regulations on all parts of what they mean. So as transportation fuels for their retail sale, and distribution for their safe transportation and storage and the like. This sets up a scheme in California for the Secretary of Food and Agriculture, who oversees our county weights and measures officers, to create those, to implement those guidelines. And in lieu of those being enacted, as is reflected in the analysis, I think on the last page, the second to last page of the analysis, our secretary is then able to set in interim regulations for, I mean, all manner of it. So the easiest, I think, to describe would be the signage and posting requirements at a retail location for a sector of alternative fuels. But they are all parts of how we store, transport, and measure for consumer protection purposes. And it also creates standardization in the market, which we generally, except as we currently do with petroleum, largely, that we appreciate that if we have standardization, we have multiple benefits, largely consumer protection and market stability. So does that answer your question?
Well, it explains the sort of the construct of this program. I'm kind of interested, seriously, in the alternative fuel market. And, some of it's actually very innovative. I suspect some of it's very helpful and some of it isn't.
It needs standardization in order to be viable, to be able to, so you can attract capital when you have a regulatory scheme that you understand that you can deploy effectively, that has sufficient pathways to the consumer, that is clear and easily able to articulate. Right now, we have ad hoc county by county, region by region, and it is not standardized, hence why there's a national movement because of the recognition for alternatives.
And I understand, again, process. I'm looking at a particular kind of product. Does this have as its impact either allowing or restricting various alternative fuel mechanisms?
It's neutral. We don't pick winners and losers. We simply say if you attempt to use this as a fuel. It doesn't say biodiesel versus natural gas versus renewable natural gas or and the like. It's neutral on that. It's just the regulatory scheme from the Food and Ag and Weights and Measures community's perspective. That's what this bill specifically speaks to. So it doesn't prohibit or pick a winner and a loser in the market. It simply says if you choose to, then this is what is
but
required.
In that process of saying what it is you have to do, will there potentially be various products that will be, just by definition of what they are, restricted from the marketplace?
As the bill is written and the amendments that we're considering, as we go through this, continue through the stakeholder process, we do not disallow various alternative fuels or clean energies, and that is not the intent of the bill. It's really to get everybody into a regulatory scheme that we can all understand, that we can all track, so that if we're concerned about safety, consumer protection, market viability, deployment, or expansion of and continued adoption of alternative fuels in particular, that there are reasonable regulatory standards and consumer protections toward that.
I understand that. I apologize. I'm trying to just get to a sense, and I've given you a silly, well, it's not a silly, some people swear by it.
We do not preclude any alternative fuel, non-petroleum fuel, from participating in this regulatory scheme.
Right, I understand that, but by virtue of the various regulatory restrictions that you want to apply, sort of kind of in a blind sampling, if you will. Will there be some of these kinds of products that will be excluded just by the very nature of the product?
That's not our intent, Mr. Chair.
Senator Jackson, I think the bill only requires that the method of sale for these fuels be consistent with a standard that's used today. So it's just
so we're just talking method of sale. That's the only thing this bill addresses.
That's all it's talking about. Yeah. It's just that there is that the method of sale. It's not defining a product. It's when the product is sold that it be consistent with the standards that are established, national standards, which is what I think the goal is to tie them with that. It's not creating any criteria for the product itself. It's just that the standards are the same, so you can compare the two between a.
Okay. All right. I apologize.
No, it's fine. I'm sorry. I didn't. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for making sure that we were clear.
Other questions? We have a motion from Senator Berryhill. This is to move the bill to. Please call the roll. We have a motion from Senator Berryhill.
Motion.
To transportation housing.
Yes, to transportation housing. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Bates?
Aye.
Bates, aye. Berryhill?
Aye.
Berryhill, aye. Block?
Aye.
Block, aye. Galgiani? Hernandez?
Aye.
Hernandez, aye. Jackson? Mendoza?
Aye.
Mendoza, aye. Wachowski?
Aye.
Wachowski, aye. Seven.
The bill has seven votes. We'll hold the roll open for the absent members. Thank you very much. Assemblymember Perea, good afternoon. We have item number two, AB 509. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. AB 509 establishes a pathway to provide high-quality pre-apprenticeship training to people that do not meet the requirements to enter an apprenticeship program. This training will give them the skills they need for admittance to an apprenticeship program where they become highly skilled and would be eligible for good-paying middle-class jobs. By creating a narrow exemption from the California Private Post-Secondary Act for only pre-apprenticeship programs operated by the Department of Apprenticeship Standards, approved apprenticeship programs, pre-apprenticeship programs will be able to continue operating to fill the skills gap. This exemption is necessary so pre-apprenticeship programs can be listed on the Eligible Training Provider List, or ETPL, and as a result receive funding from their local workforce investment boards. I respectfully ask for your aye vote, and with me I have Blake Conskill, Executive Director of the Workforce Investment Board, and Nick Laurette de Mola, Legislative Analyst for the California Workforce Association, who is the sponsor of the bill.
Very good. Thank you. Witnesses in support? Would you like to?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. We really need this legislation. Currently, the WIBs in the Valley, the eight WIBs in the Valley from Stockton to Bakersfield, are funding pre-apprentice training using a series of discretionary grants, but we're restricted from using the main bulk of federal job training funding we receive under the Workforce Investment Act because this training does not appear on the eligible training provider list. That distinction in the funding means that dislocated workers, where people have been laid off from their most recent job, are referable to the training, but poor adults, income-tested adults, which we use with our other funding, are not referable, again, because the training is not on the ETPL. So this little quirk in the law is having direct effect on citizens and people who want training and our ability to refer a diverse clientele into the various training programs.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. My name is Nick Laurette de Mola with the California Workforce Association. I just want to echo what Blake has said and also bring up that there's about $30 billion in funding for public works projects that have come through in the Valley in recent years that we would love to be able to connect the job seekers and the poor in the Valley too by getting them inserted into pre-apprenticeship programs. We believe these ideas are at the core of an evidence-driven, customer-focused direction that the workforce system needs to maneuver to be effective in both growing businesses and helping put job seekers back to work. The provisions of AB 509 open these pathways at a critical time to allow Californians to fully benefit from the influx of those project dollars coming into the state immediately, and represents the first of what we hope will be many partnerships with strong pre-apprenticeship program designs. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Other witnesses in support?
Mr. Chairman, members, Cesar Diaz on behalf of State Building and Construction Trades Council. Our affiliated unions spend over $100 million a year in apprenticeship training. We often have to fund apprenticeship programs or pre-apprenticeship programs to prepare adults to actually apply for and pass the entry-level exams. Pre-apprenticeship programs are critical to ensure that people are prepared with some of the soft skills, are aware of the construction opportunities in whatever region that they are located in. And we believe also that this bill aligns the workforce investment system to ensure that there's resources to prepare those individuals for the career opportunities that apprenticeship offers. And for those reasons, we urge your support.
Good. Thank you, Mr. Diaz. Others in support? Are there witnesses in opposition to this legislation? Seeing none, back to the committee. Thank you. Yes. Senator Block.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to clarify, what entities normally offer this pre-apprenticeship training?
There are a number of entities that do. The ones that this bill is focused toward are the ones that are connected directly with a registered apprenticeship program. So you'll have many different entities.
Give me an example.
Currently, sir, the Fresno Madera Tulare King Building Trades Council is offering pre-apprentice training in those four counties. The Stanislaus Merced Tuolumne Mariposa Building Trades Council is offering pre-apprentice training in those four counties. The Kern Inyo Mono Building Trades Council is offering in those three. The programs that we're funding, that the workforce boards are funding, feed directly into the existing system of union apprentice programs, and they're actually doing the pre-apprentice training.
So the same entities that do the apprenticeship training do the pre-apprenticeship training?
Correct. With the assistance of workforce boards,
that's
yes.
That's all I need to know. Thank you.
And if I could just expand just a little bit, an example would be Fresno County is contracting with our local building trade groups to bring pre-apprentices into the apprenticeship programs to build county facilities.
Any other questions from board members other than myself? Quick question, Assembly Member Perea. I understand that the Department of Industrial Relations has asked you to narrow the bill and that you do intend to take some amendments as it goes to education.
I do.
That would exempt the specific labor-managed apprenticeship programs. And just help us understand why it's narrowed to that group.
Well, I'll let workforce answer more, but just briefly, in talking with the Department of Apprenticeship Standards, what they want to include is a bad actor provision. And so by adding the bad actor provision, it does limit about 90% of those pre-apprenticeship or apprenticeship programs would be affiliated with the construction trades. But I'll let either construction trades or association go in.
Madam Chair, Cesar Diaz with the State Building Trades Council. The labor management provision ensures that both the business and the labor aspects are represented in the decision-making for an apprenticeship program. Those tend to actually have graduate rates that are higher by far. There are minimal resources available to pre-apprenticeship. What the DIR is stating is that they would like to use those minimal resources for the programs that actually are performing at their highest levels. And that's why they're asking for that sort of bad actor provision, but also to ensure that business has a representation at the table, which tend to be the labor management union programs.
You know, that's, for me, that's very important information. I just think it should be part of the record, because if we get, you know, inquiries from other pre-apprenticeship programs, it's important to understand why we've narrowed it to those who are, I'm going to use the term certified, which is, you know, in a general sense, but it would be important going forward if you could have some of that information. So when it comes to the floor, it's going to be easier to understand than narrowing. And I'm going to lay off today just in hopes of getting that specific information, because I can use it in my district. It would be important for me. So any other comments from members then? Did we hear, we heard the opposition, didn't we, or there was none, correct?
The legal counsel for relations.
If we're ready, are we ready to vote, you guys? I'm kind of picking up in the middle. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We have a motion from Senator Mendoza. Call the roll.
Motion is due pass to Senate Education Committee. Hill? Bates? Berryhill? Berryhill, aye. Block?
Aye.
Block, aye. Galgiani. Hernandez.
Aye.
Hernandez, aye. Jackson.
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Mendoza.
Aye.
Mendoza, aye. Wachowski.
Aye.
Wachowski, aye.
Just leave it open. We'll leave it open now for the absent members can weigh in.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's see, who would be next? Salas?
Salas.
Jones?
Oh, Jones.
Oh. Jones?
Okay. Jones,
yeah. Assembly Member Jones. Item number 5, AB 921.
The opportunity to present today, AB 921. First off, I'm pleased to take the suggested amendments as outlined on pages 6 and 7 of the committee analysis. Today I'm presenting AB 921, which will require the establishment of a disciplinary review committee known as a DRC, which a licensed private investigator could voluntarily opt into to contest the assessment of administrative fine or to appeal a denial of license. Currently, licensed private investigators who want to contest the assessment of an administrative fine or to appeal a denial of the license must embark upon a process that can take more than a year to obtain a final resolution. By creating a DRC, this saves the licensee time because matters can be resolved more quickly and also saves the Department of Consumer Affairs time and money so that they don't have to go through the more expensive adjudicatory route. A licensee who disagrees with the DRC decision would be able to return to the current process if necessary. What's more, at the sunset review hearing we held just last month, the BCIS noted that the value of the DRCs that currently exist for security guards and alarm companies. AB 921 is sponsored by the California Association of Licensed Investigators. Here with me today to testify with any technical questions are Jerry Desmond Jr. with the California Association of Licensed Investigators, and Francine Kaler, also with the association.
Go ahead.
Good afternoon. I'm the past president of the California Association of Licensed Investigators, and I'm its current legislative director. We believe that this bill would not only save the government money, but would enhance the ability to have our private investigators, our licensed private investigators, adjudicate their situation more quickly. In addition, this bill will add an email provision to the license application that we think is a good thing in this technological age. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Desmond.
Jerry Desmond for the same association for technical questions, but also to thank the committee and the analysis with some helpful amendments that actually improve on the measure. And so we want to express our appreciation for that in the analysis. Thank you.
Additional witnesses in support? Witnesses in opposition? Committee members? Yeah. Assembly Member Jones, would you like to close?
I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Okay. Motion is due pass as amended to Appropriations. Hill? Bates?
Aye.
Bates, aye. Berryhill?
Aye.
Berryhill, aye. Block?
Aye.
Block, aye. Galgiani? Hernandez?
Aye.
Hernandez, aye. Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Mendoza?
Aye.
Mendoza, aye. Wachowski?
Aye.
Wachowski, aye.
No. Thank you, Senators.
And we'll hold that open for the absent members.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
And then I think our last one this afternoon, item number 3, Assemblymember Salas, AB 752. Welcome.
Thank you, Senator. I present before you Assembly Bill 752. Which deals with many working adults without high school diplomas are seeking to enroll in job and skills training programs but are having difficulty passing the required ATP examinations. AB 752 would simply require the Bureau of Private Postsecondary Education to review the list of federally approved ATP examinations and assess if any of these tests are appropriate for students with limited English proficiency. If the Bureau determines that there are no appropriate examinations, this bill would require the Bureau to approve an alternative examination. With that, I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Witnesses in support?
No, not today.
And witnesses in opposition? Committee members?
Okay.
Senator Wyckoski?
In 2.5 years, the Bureau hasn't produced a report. This, once this becomes, I assume that they see this legislation, it begs the question, produce the report.
Absolutely.
The effective date here is July 1 next year. Do we think this is, it's going to do the trick the second time?
Well, I sure hope so. If not, I also chair the Accountability and Administrative Review Committee. So I'd love to call them in on that.
Okay. Good luck.
Thank you.
We have a motion. Please call the roll. I'm sorry. I didn't see you, Senator Block.
That's okay. The Bureau, we've had trouble with the Bureau with several pieces of legislation.
Absolutely.
And I've been assured by the department under which the Bureau falls that they will improve their response to the legislature. If that doesn't happen, I'd suggest that, for the record, those of us who may serve on Budget Committee beat the governor to blue penciling any funding for the Bureau next year. So let's please keep us advised of what progress they make.
I always believe in making a point. Thank you, Senator Block, and that's a great way to make that point.
Would you like to close?
I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
We'll call the roll.
Motion is due pass to Senate Education Committee. Hill? Bates?
Aye.
Bates, aye. Berryhill?
Aye.
Berryhill, aye. Block?
Aye.
Block, aye. Galgiani?
Aye.
Galgiani, aye. Hernandez?
Aye.
Hernandez, aye. Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Mendoza?
Aye.
Mendoza, aye. Wachowski?
Aye.
Wachowski, aye. 8.
Bates?
So leave it open?
We'll leave it open for the absent member. You want to follow up? I don't think Kelsey.
Yeah, you need to. Yeah.
She needs. Yes, we're going to call the absent member. Go ahead.
Item number 2, AB 509. Motion is due pass to Senate Education Committee. Current vote 6-0. Bates, Galgiani?
Aye.
Galgiani, aye. Hill? Hill's gone.
That bill's out?
No, no, no. Leave it open for him.
I'm going to hold it open. Okay.
Item number 4, AB 808. Motion is due pass to Transportation and Housing Committee. Galgiani?
Aye.
Galgiani, aye. Jackson?
Okay. This bill's out.
That bill is out. 8-0.
Okay. Item number 5, AB 921. Motion is due pass as amended to appropriations. Hill? Galgiani? Galgiani, aye. Leave that open.
Yeah, we're leaving that open.
Item number 6, AB 1042. Motion is due pass as amended to Rules Committee. Berryhill?
No.
Berryhill, no. It's 8-1, that's out.
8-1, that bill is out.
Item number 7, AB 1508. Motion is due pass to appropriations. Berryhill?
Aye.
Berryhill, aye. Block?
Aye.
Block, aye. It's 9-0.
9-0, that bill goes out.
That's it. We're going to wait for him now.
All right. We can wait for Jerry to come back.
that.
Chair, which bill is that?
If you have that, Mr. Chairman, I have two.
I have two?
Very good. We will call the roll on item number two. Please call the absent members.
Okay. Motion is due pass to Senate Education Committee. Curran votes 7-0. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Bates? Okay, that's out. 8-0.
8-0. That bill is out. Moving to item number three, AB 752. Please call the absent member.
Motion is due pass to Senate Education. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. It's 9-0.
9-0. That bill is out. And item number five, AB 921.
Motion is due pass as amended to appropriations. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. 9-0.
That bill is out as well. I want to thank Senator Bates for helping. And this hearing is adjourned.